You have Nighttime Economy, the podcast from 24 Hour Nation. My name is Randall White. Something remarkable is underway in the Republic of Ireland. Its government has prioritized and elevated the value of that country's nighttime economy in enviable ways. Government leaders have determined that the country's cities and towns of all sizes, not to mention Irish culture itself, will benefit from hiring and placing nighttime economy advocates in many of Ireland's communities. Now imagine your country's national elected officials doing the same, not just for pandemic recovery, but to help make cities and towns safer, more inclusive, and more culturally and economically vibrant at night. In this episode of Nighttime Economy, we speak with one of Ireland's nighttime economy advisors, placed in Louth County and the city of Drogheda. Meet Mark Davies.
My title is Nighttime Economy Advisor. My employer is Louth County Council, although I'm funded by the Department of Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaeltacht, Sports and Media, so like a government department. My responsibilities are, they've left it, as part of this pilot, it's a two-year pilot, they've left it somewhat vague on purpose so that we can tailor it to our locations. But our remit, essentially, is to make sure or create a nighttime economy that's vibrant and inclusive. And they feel that's never gone wrong. If we keep that at the center of everything we do, that, you know, they're happy with that. So that's everything around that. We'll build an action plan around that. We'll create a stakeholder group with key partners on the ground. So it's partnership working. And they'll steer a lot of what we do. We'll develop an action plan based on that and try some things out for the next 2 years. And how long have I been doing this? I am still relatively new. I like to remind the others, I was the first nighttime economy advisor appointed in Ireland, just. So I'm nearly 6 months in now. There's only, I think, six in post out of the nine, maybe seven, about to start. So we've all started at different points in the last 6 months, but we've all kept in touch and we've been supporting each other, which is really nice. It's a nice team that's forming across the state of Ireland. I'm the only foreigner coming from Wales. But it's been fantastic for me because I've always enjoyed traveling and getting to know other cultures. And really immersing myself. So this has been a great opportunity to do this at another level, really focusing and getting to another way of life, another way of living, even though there are some similarities with the UK and Wales. There's also, I like to say, it's like an alternative universe. It's similar, but there's a lot of those little differences that add up. So it's really fascinating stuff.
I would love that experience. So let me go back a little bit. In 2021, the state's Nighttime Economy Task Force made recommendations on how to invest in and develop Ireland's nighttime economy. That report was followed in 2022 by an announcement that nine cities and towns that would take part in a pilot program of full-time nighttime advisors, and you are one of those. And then in last summer, 2023, in the summer, Ireland's Minister Catherine Martin announced a new initiative for nighttime economy. Then last fall, a citizen report in Dublin came out. What is going on in Ireland with this focus on the nighttime economy? Tell us about that.
My take on it is, I think a lot of this is driven by Minister Martin. It was an interest of hers as she came into post. And at the same time, we saw this all over the world. There's lots of lobbying and interest groups that started to form around the nighttime economy. Many of them forming out of music, maybe the dance music scene, but different types. So I think this all happened at the same time, following what we all experienced with COVID and the lockdowns, cost of living, how over the years, the music scene, I think in particular, but lots of other cultural activities and hospitality, etc., had been really hit by changes and an evolution within our town and city centres. So people that really felt passionately about this were starting to get together to lobby government to understand what's happening. And in Ireland, we've got two great groups. We've got one that's called Breathe the Night.
Yes.
And the other one, Give Us the Night, which are both wonderful. groups like that, and you know, the people that represent, you know, the vendors associations, there'll be bars, there'll be clubs, all started to come to the fore, and it developed in, or it was utilized in and drawn in to a task force. You mentioned the Nighttime Economy Unit, so that was set up as well. And they drew this task force together that was made up of not just professionals and officers from the public sector, but also some of these interest groups as well. So that gave a platform for people to have a real open, honest discussion, an inspiring discussion as well, about what they'd like to do, what they'd like to try, what needs to happen. And that task force is that still gets together regularly. I went to my first one back in December with the other, at the time, Lifetime Economy advisors. And we, you know, it was a great place for us to meet, not just inspiring people, such as Give Us a Night and Free the Night, but people that might be from transportation that we would have had, wouldn't have had a chance of meeting otherwise at a very senior level, or, you know, other departments as well. So that gives us a real good place to understand how things work, what the strategies are, and have a conversation that we can then bring back to our localities, our areas, these nine areas that have been looked at. There was originally six,
right?
I understand. And then they expanded it to nine because they put it out there to local authorities to make an application. And they had so many good ones, they decided, right, let's make nine happen. I think it's just, there's a wave of success there from the goodwill of people getting together. You know, it's not always perfect. I think sometimes it's, people might feel there's setbacks, things don't change fast enough for some people, but they're all in it together. They're all working together. And I think that task force has really been influential in helping things along and developing this vision of what nighttime economy could be in Ireland. But obviously, after COVID, I think it's part of the broader piece for recovery for the economy. That there needs to be, you know, there's a long way to go, I think, since the hit that everyone had, and still the cost of living. What do people call it? It's the Permy crisis, isn't it? It's one crisis after another. I hear that a lot, that term. It does seem that it has been one thing after another.
Well, and then how does Ireland define nighttime economy?
Very simply. They've kept it really, really simple. It is any activity that can happen between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. within a town or city centre. Again, fairly vague, because that gives us flexibility to work with partners about what's included within that. But yeah, they've kept it simple, and that's their definition.
So it's not just cultural activity. It could be commerce.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be commerce. It could be community safety. It could be workers' rights. And I think depending on the priorities that partners identify together in the different stakeholder groups that we'll have in the different areas, some of those will be prioritized or focused on more than others. Or something completely new might come out of it. Who knows?
Right.
So yeah, very broad. It's about what on the ground partners decide when they meet together, and coordinated by ourselves, that will dictate where we're going to go with our action plans over the next 2 years.
And so you referenced that Minister Martin and these two stakeholder groups, Free the Night and Give Us the Night, as well as other kind of community interests.
Yeah, absolutely. There'll be other interest groups, other particular champions of nighttime economy within that as well. Also, what you often find in Ireland is people that have been leader of councils, etc., will often volunteer for things like this as well. So we've got like a lot of people with a lot of experience from across the state involved in this task group. It's a really interesting place to work with.
Well, I like the fact that you referenced that at this meeting that you had, there were other folks from other state departments, including transportation.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people consider how these other government agencies, silos, can be broken down and can be talking to each other. Is that, and there's value in that, right?
Absolutely. It's all interconnected. And one department might, I've experienced it, one department might be trying to get somewhere with a strategy that would unintentionally be affected by another department's strategy. So it's good to have these partnership places to focus on a theme sometimes, just to align everything, make sure it's all harmonious, make sure that we're all moving in the right direction, or at least not undermining each other. It is great to have these different departments. Transport was top of my head, but there's many, many more, obviously, you know. So, you know, we'll want to think about the safety of citizens. We'll want to be thinking about their transportation, their accommodation, their experiences, so the culture, the music, history, that sort of thing. So it's all There's all manner of things we can think about, but I think it all boils down to the experience. What do we want from our town and city centres? There's a change coming. There's a change been happening for a long time. So now's the time to stop and think, where do we want it to go?
And is this a different style of working, do you think, in this kind of coalition approach? Is that different?
Well, I can't speak for Ireland too much. Obviously, I'm somewhat of a newcomer. I have been told partnership working is something that's becoming sort of more interest in a lot of areas. Certainly from my background back in Wales, partnership working is very, very embedded. It's very, very important because, I mean, if you go all the way back to the financial crisis, when was that, 2007,
Right.
2008, partnership working became much more important then. It was about, we're all partners, we've all got less budgets to work with. How can we at strategic level start working together, pool our resources and make things happen together rather than what we were used to before? So that's certainly my background and what I'm used to. And it's definitely something I'm seeing more and more of in Ireland as well.
And how is it being received so far? I mean, we're really kind of just 6 months in, I gather, but across Ireland, where there are nighttime economy advisors established or where they're waiting for them to be established, how are the communities, the cities, the towns receiving this?
I think very, very positively. There might be here and there a few people with questions and some skepticism. That's fine. But my experience has been a very positive one. I've been really welcomed. A lot of people are very excited. The amount of times I'll have a meeting somewhere in a cafe to speak to someone about an idea they've got, and somebody will hear me talking and then say, "Excuse me, can I have a chat? I want to chat to you too. This is really exciting." It really captures people's imagination. Towns and cities are really important to citizens' identity, aren't they? And it's, they often feel so strongly about them and they don't want to see them fail. That's why I think there's that positivity out there that people belong to them, the town belongs to them, or the city belongs to them. So they really want to see, advocates such as ourselves do well. They really want to feed the ideas in, and they really appreciate the support that we can give them. In any way that we can. To answer your question, it's a good experience so far.
Okay, and when I think of Ireland, and I've never been, that's on me. I think of its music culture being
Was going to say, we
so.
can't be everywhere. Don't
I
worry. Don't be
know,
so hard on yourself.
but I think of the music culture of Ireland as being so much. Or did I just see the movie once too many times? Is there this sense that we are preserving and protecting this music culture of Ireland at the same time we're pushing forward this nighttime economy initiative?
That is definitely a flavor that I've picked up on. Yeah, there's a lot of people that want to speak to me about music, but obviously there's different genres. So what they call trad over here, so the traditional music, is very, very important part of the identity. It's also what often tourists want to see or hear and experience when they come over. It's doing well. It's there. The grass in all the music genres, the grassroots are still there. The people are still playing, but maybe there's less opportunities for them to play live or to play together. But there's so many champions that are very passionate about these different genres, these different types of music, that they're all coming to the front about, I've got an idea, but how can I bring it back? And they've some of them share common issues. So like I just insinuated, there's less venues. A lot of venues had to change, or they couldn't keep going after COVID and the cost of living that we've had, and what you'd call the cost of services as well. The ones that did get through possibly had to try different things out. So they moved away from what they were doing before, which might have been local music before.
Right.
And they've moved to maybe DJs. When I say DJs, it might not be your dance music scene. It might just be they're playing some pop hits. Or they might have moved to tribute bands. Nothing wrong with any of this, but that tends to disrupt that loyal following you have. And I
Right.
think what we need is some venues to start moving back towards, or have some champions out there for particular types of music. Promoters as well. So it's just about venues. If you've got someone that's passionate about music, it'd be great if you can encourage that sort of person to consider promotion or curation of a particular type of music type, because that's what over the long term creates those loyal followings that will bring people back regularly to a particular venue. Everyone wins. Everyone knows the sort of music they're getting. the promoter and the venue know that they've got a good pool of people there that they can expect to keep coming back. And that's what I remember many years ago, and I think that's been disrupted. And I hope to encourage and work with people to try and get back to, so that we haven't got what a lot of venues had to do to survive with these perhaps short-term solutions. We've got something that's enriching culture again. It's growing those grassroots. I mean, I have seen some evidence, and I've seen a lot of talking about how live music at the top level, that top 1%, has never done better. You know, so if you go and see some of those very few acts, the best acts in the world, you're spending a lot of money, you're going to a very big venue to see that, and you've probably got one hit in the year, and that's it. But the rest is not doing so well. We haven't got those artists. They're there, but they're not being brought forward anymore or as easily. So I think part of our job will be, you know, musically to support what people are doing. The talent's there. It's just trying to rebuild and get those places back so that they're playing again and they've got an audience that wants to come out and see that again.
Well, this seems very nuanced, though. I mean, you mentioned cost of living for artists. And also, is Ireland experiencing the same kind of venue costs and taxes that the and business closures being experienced in the UK right now? I mean, all we hear about is the VAT tax, the VAT. I mean, is Ireland in that same boat?
Yeah, I think Ireland's possibly a little bit going that direction, not necessarily quite as bad at this stage. But yeah, I have seen, I mean, somebody that's been watching live music, cool, way back in the 90s when I was young, to see some of these venues closing over back in my home is very disturbing. You know, this means a lot. Again, it's about our identity, isn't it? It means a lot to people. It's not just about music venues. It's about restaurants. It's about new pubs and bars. And it's about all kinds of places where people could congregate are also under those pressures. So there is a movement starting to form here that, you know, because there are businesses under the same sort of pressures, starting to argue that they'd like to see the government reconsider VAT at some point in order to help out. So yeah, I would say, yeah, the same pressures, but we're not quite as far down the line yet. But it is worrying to see those trends, and I would like to think we'll do something before we get into the, you know, quite the same situation.
What do you think the potential is that you and your colleagues will be able to do in Ireland that will set an example for other countries to follow? What's possible there?
It's funny, isn't it? Because at this stage, we're probably looking at what everyone else is doing. We're all fairly new and we're very excited about that. But some of my observations are, what's very interesting about the selection of the nine areas is the variance, the different sizes. So you've got Dublin, which is an really important large world city. And then you've got some of the smaller, but still very important towns and smaller settlements that have their own nighttime economy. My own, probably in the middle here in Drogheda, it's a town. It's the largest town in Ireland. And it's got so much going for it. Everyone talks about this, the potential. It looks very much like what we call a continental city, like you might see in France or Germany, because it's got so many iconic old buildings. But it's, you know, it's not what it used to be before COVID. A lot of people say how thriving it was, how it was open late, etc. So you've got these different sizes, I think, is what I'm trying to get down to, that of like really big cities, medium-sized cities, towns, villages, coastal areas. And that's going to be really interesting to see how we all learn from each other. Where are the similarities, but where are also the differences? So in Drogheda, I really feel I'm picking up a lot of wonderful ideas across the globe. But often these are ideas more appropriate for a big city, particularly a city that's got a history of thriving culture already. And that seems to be where a lot of the nighttime economy advocates kind of generated from, because people saw the threat to something that was very important. In Drogheda, there is it's lots of culture. It's fantastic. There's so many great people doing some wonderful things. But perhaps we're at a different starting point, and we've got to get some of the basics right in terms of nighttime economy and how we all work together before we can think about some of the other things, or try and integrate it at the same time. But it is interesting that there might be a different starting point, I'd argue, where I'm at. And I think some of my colleagues might say there's something similar there. We've all got very different sort of cities and towns, some with student populations, some without, etc., which makes a massive difference to what we're trying to do. Perhaps just having this number of people together, they're experiencing this together, There'll be a lot of learnings about what different sized communities have in common that you can do in nighttime economy, and how you have to do things differently with different sizes. So I hope that answers your question, but
You
I
did.
think
You
it'll be some
did.
really
You
interesting
did.
learning.
Yeah, no. Well, let's talk about you for a second. You came over to Ireland from Wales, which is part of the UK, to Ireland, which is not part of the UK.
No.
And yet, sometimes when you talk about Ireland, you're talking about both Ireland and Northern Ireland because of the two advocacy groups. So, I'm, you know,
Yeah.
for those of us that didn't study that part of English history, it's difficult to kind of keep track of all the pieces. But so you are a man from
We like
Wales
to
now.
say British history. That's the way
Okay,
we
okay, okay, okay. All
that's how
right.
we that's the, that's how we push that one.
All
So
right.
yeah, well, with the UK, so a little bit of a lesson there. So we've got England, Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, and then the Republic of Ireland is an independent nation in its own right. But there is a history there with the UK going back over 100 years
Right.
ago. So there are still a lot of links between Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK, and the Republic of Ireland. And that's a lot of that's in the news at the moment. There's Sinn Féin is now in power in Northern Ireland with the devolved government there. They potentially could have a big role to play, if not in government with the Republic of Ireland in the near future, depending on when elections are. So this has created a lot of discussion about unification. Could it happen? And that's always great crack in the pub when you're having a chat with people about should it happen? Could it happen? How would it happen? But it's on the cards. So there's, despite that, since the Good Friday Agreement and peace process, there's been a lot of work to create links between the North and the South. And there's always been those cultural links. They've always been there.
And how have you been
But
received as a man from Wales suddenly plopped into the Irish culture scene?
it must be really welcoming. I haven't had a problem at all. Sometimes the accent is a problem, so people might do a double take, and that's fair enough. I totally get that.
How's
So I
your
might
Irish coming
develop an
along?
Irish twins. My Irish is awful, but their Welsh is terrible too, so that's okay.
So what in your professional background led you to this position? You said something about the music, but from the 90s when you were younger. How did you get this path? What's this path that
Oh,
brought you
back in the
here?
day.
Yeah, back in the
So
day.
This is it's really it's a crossroads in my life, I'll tell you what. So about early last year, decided to make a move to the Republic of Ireland because my darling wife is from Dublin, and she really thought it's time to come home, reconnect with her family and her friend network. And we used to live in a small town in South Wales called, we were talking about trying to pronounce things earlier, weren't we?
Right.
Llantrith Major. Which has a connection to St. Patrick, actually. Apparently, he studied there under St. Illtyd. There you go.
All right.
So I thought, yeah, that's a great opportunity. My wife had inherited a house. Let's do it. This is a great opportunity. We're never going to get something like this again. So we moved over, and I had to change career. And what nighttime economy advisor jobs came up, and they seemed really interesting. So it really felt like a lot of different parts of my life had come together for this position. So yeah, to answer your question, I used to be in bands myself. I used to be in indie bands from the 90s, and the following 20 years. So really got to know about live performance, about promoting your own music, about the music scene, about the importance of venues, doing it yourself. We call it the DIY scene, we used to call it back then,
Right.
or the 360 degree scene, where bands really started to do a lot of things themselves. And technology was enabling that. So it was a very exciting time. But I had a job as well. So I was in the private sector for a number of years as a project manager in telecoms. And I think a lot of people get drawn to public service after a while. When they're doing a high pressure position, they think, I want to give back. I want to do something a bit different. And joined Cardiff Council. Cardiff's the capital of Wales. And I was very lucky. I got one of my favorite jobs ever, what was called a neighborhood partnership coordinator. And these jobs were about you'd have a certain area, geographical area of the city, and you'd do partnership working to understand what was really important to communities and what the opportunities were, what the issues were, and work in partnership to align everyone's act strategies. And we did some great stuff. It was really fascinating. I learned so much about public health, the police, the councils, different departments, etc., what they can do together. It was a very broad piece, and it was very interesting. And then I, you know, as a project manager, we are very plug and play, so they like to move us around a bit. And I did a little bit in what we call street scene then, about people's ownership of their streets and their neighborhoods, and how, you know, if you give people a little bit of ownership, they actually do wonderful things in streets and parks. They'll make little pocket gardens, they'll have community gardens, they'll do litter picks, stuff like that, which was fascinating. And I'd like to bring that, a bit of that on to what I'm doing now. And then the last, I think, about 3 years, I was in the community safety team. So that was partnership working with the police and other agencies, police crime commission, and public health, etc. We developed a set of priorities. There was things like street-based lifestyles, which might be about people that are spending a lot of time on the streets. They might have drug implications with that, homelessness, those sort of issues, violence, serious violence, any kind of violence, particularly against women, following what happened to Sarah Everard. And there was different priority areas. Yeah, I came from that then, which was a wonderful place to be. I covered a little bit of the nighttime economy while I was doing that role. So when this job came up and I went, oh, I've been covering that, I looked into it further, that with my musical background, with all these jobs I've just mentioned and bored you with, it just all seemed to come together. It's like, wow, I think I could do this. So I went in for it enthusiastically, and I was very lucky to get the Georgia position. That's my background. So,
well, it does sound like the universe kind of aligned and said, here you go, your whole past is right here as your future.
I'm speaking with Mark Davies. He is the Drogheda Nighttime Economy Advisor for the Louth County Council in Ireland.
I've got a couple of links I'll post along with this podcast when it goes up, and a couple of reports. I'll include a copy of the Nighttime Economy Survey and the Nighttime Economy Workforce Report, just so people can kind of take a look and be inspired. Finally, Mark, in a few weeks, you are going to be hosting a new nighttime event that you have helped bring to life. Tell us about it, and then tell us why it's important that the world laugh right now.
Well, this is something that has been very important to me over the last few months. It's the Drogheda Comedy Festival. This is something that's very new to Drogheda. There's plenty of comedy around. There's lots of venues that will do comedy and have comics in at different levels. We've got different size venues, ranging from about 900 down to 90, you know, in different pubs, bigger venues, etc. And a few years ago, a local businessman here and a fairly well-known comic got together and had an idea to have a festival up here. There just seemed to be a gap. Now, there was plenty of comedy festivals in Ireland. Lots of people do them, but there's some that are a bit bigger than others. But the Northeast just seemed to, of Ireland, which is where Drogheda is located, just seemed to lack something. And there's also the potential to, if you did have a comedy festival, if you had it at a certain time of year, it avoided other comedy festivals. So at this time of year, we're talking about March 8th, 9th, and 10th. There is a few others around, but not the sort of size that we're trying to scale this up to. So there's lots of opportunities there. There seems to be a geographical opportunity or a gap in the market, a time one in terms of where other festivals sat across the year. And there's lots of venues very close to each other. So you could have that sort of fringe festival element to it as well. People can just travel really easily from one venue to another. Some fantastic pubs, fantastic club venues, art centers that could all work together with this. This was put to some partners. You have business improvement districts in the States, don't you? I think I've seen that.
Yes.
So there's Love Drogheda here, just some fantastic work locally, brought some venues together and invited me along. And I offered to help and got more and more involved to try and really passionately bring something along, try and get something through 2024. And yeah, a lot of hard work's gone into this, blood, sweat, and tears. Well, hopefully it's going to end in laughter soon. This comedy festival has really captured the local imagination. I think people just, it's a great time of year to do something like this because we're just getting out of winter, aren't we? There's always those doldrums after Christmas. Locally, there is an appetite there and we're delighted. Ticket sales are going well. We think people are going to really enjoy this. So yeah, there's a lot of pluses with comedy festivals because relatively speaking, say you've got a music festival, something like that, maybe even an arts festival, the overheads are potentially lower. You've got an act, a microphone, very talented act, and you've got to design it in such a way so there's the right kind of concentration for this as well. But There's a lot to be said that you could get this done with a tried and tested method of raising funds. People pay tickets at the door. You can look at sponsorship, etc. And it's sustainable, and that's something we need to be careful about. We don't want a one hit here. We want this to carry on for years. So depending on how well it does, and I think it's looking like it's going to do well, I really see the potential of this carrying on for years and growing to rival some of the other comedy festivals we've got in Europe, particularly in Ireland. Some really good ones. So yeah, watch this space. Maybe give me a shout next year. See if we've managed to take it a step up from where we are this year. But very excited, very very happy to see it's doing as well as it is. And then your last question is, why do we all need to laugh right now? Oh gosh, we were talking earlier, weren't we, about the Fermi crisis and one thing after another. And I think people need something new. They need some happiness in their lives. We all need to let our hair down. Isn't that what nighttime economy is about? It's about escaping our daily routines in our lives and getting together, making connections, making friends, and having a good time and recharging your batteries. And this is one fantastic way of doing that.
It is a fantastic way to do that. The night provides the perfect canvas for recharging your batteries and having a laugh or two with good friends. This has been Season 3, Episode 4 of Nighttime Economy, the 24-Hour Nation podcast. Visit our website at 24hournation.com and follow us on social media to discover more about the people, programs, and possibilities in cities at night. My name is Randall White.